Before leaving our discussion of how to fat-proof your environment, let's get real about one additional dimension of your life. Sometimes the most problematic aspect of the environment in which you interact is not your home so much as it is your place of employment. You might be in a job that pays you pretty well, but here's the deal. It is contributing to your obesity. If you work in a restaurant or a grocery store, for example, you're surrounded by food day in and day out, and this assault of food cues is creating disaster in your life. Look at it this way. If you were an alcoholic, would you apply for a job as a bartender? How dumb is that? I don't really have to tell you that if you're chronically overweight, you should not work in the food business. It comes back to the fact that your job may be toxic. It may be a high-risk situation that is producing negative momentum, and the hard, cold reality is that you might have to start looking for employment in another field, in a better situation. If you value your health and life, dig down and find the courage to change your job or career if you need to. I know this is scary, but stop denying yourself the chance of getting what you truly want. You deserve it, and you're worth it. Step 5. Do a closet cleanup. This final step challenges you to make a no-turning-back commitment to losing weight. It is very specific in its instructions. Do a closet cleanup in which you throw away your fat wardrobe or donate it to charity so that you have no oversized clothes to return to, ever. Let me tell you why this is so important. If you hang on to your larger size clothes, this means that subconsciously, you're expecting to fit back into them someday. You're clinging to a fat lifestyle and psychologically to a fat mindset. You're telling yourself, this won't work either. If those clothes stay in your closet, you are committing to failure. By contrast, having no fat clothes to return to is just one more motivating factor that will help you reach and remain at your ideal weight. Throw away your elastic pants, full-figured fashions, oversized house dresses, muumuus, big men's size clothes, and all expandable clothes. Don't give yourself any wiggle room. As you work your way down in weight, rid your closet of clothes that are too big for you. When you cross the bridge, I want you to burn it behind you. Should your smaller size clothes ever start feeling snug again, you're out of luck. You can't wear your size 18s or 24s anymore because you no longer own a wardrobe in those sizes. You won't have anything to wear, and you would never think of running errands or going to work naked. This means it's time for a reality check. You've let things slide, and you're gaining weight again. Don't go out and buy another whole fat wardrobe. Instead, get back on track. There should be no regression or retreat back to what you have always done before or what you have always been. Have the willingness and courage to throw off your past, go after your weight control goals, and pursue a life that is defined as healthy and fit. When you revamp your environment using all the steps I've discussed, you'll discover that weight control is so much easier than ever using a whit of willpower, which is impossible anyway. Removing access and availability to fattening food will succeed like nothing you've ever tried before. It's one of the easiest ways to lose excess pounds, and yes, it does require some effort on your part. But keep at it, because these are vital, real-life steps that will help you lose pounds, stay fit, and feel happier for life. Key 4. Mastery over food and impulse eating. Unlock the door to habit control. You can behave your way to a healthy, fit body. If you change what you do and you change the payoffs or rewards that you get, you move closer to permanent weight loss. This key unlocks the door to habit control, a brand new, healthier relationship with food, where food is no longer at the center of your universe. It's all about disciplining yourself toward healthy behavior and creating the healthy results that flow from that behavior. When you choose the behavior, you choose the consequences. Using this key will require examining your bad habits and why they persist, and deciding that isn't what you want anymore. Then you can start behaving in ways that make you feel really good about yourself. Once you realize the extent to which eating behavior is ruled by habit, you will be amazed. Some examples. Jennifer comes home from work, makes a beeline to the refrigerator, cruises its contents, and samples bits and pieces of food as if they were selections on a smorgasbord. A meatball here, a slice of cheese there. What she doesn't realize is that this habitual snacking adds up to 300 additional calories a day. If she continues at that rate, she'll gain 25 extra pounds this year. She doesn't understand why it's so hard to lose weight. For Tim, who habitually eats in front of the TV, the start of the 6 o'clock news is like a dinner bell. And like Pavlov's dogs, which were conditioned to associate food with the ringing of a bell, he starts salivating and feeling the urge to eat. He eats dinner while watching the news, but afterwards has no idea how much he ate. Tim is 30 pounds heavier than he was 5 years ago, but hasn't a clue as to why. Teresa would love to weigh 115 pounds again, but today she tips the scales at 200 pounds. She cares about her personal appearance and dresses and grooms herself immaculately, hoping that this will compensate for her unsightly pounds. But most nights after her kids have gone to sleep, Teresa takes a large bag of potato chips to bed with her and reads a book while munching away. As you heard about Jennifer, Tim, and Teresa, did you notice a pattern in their eating behavior that is present in your own? All were eating in places other than the dining room table. All were eating in an unconscious manner, ignoring the experience of eating, eating simply because of reflex or concentrating on other things while consuming the food. Because their behavior had become almost automatic, they had stopped paying attention to what they were eating, how much they were eating, where they were eating, and what the real consequences of their eating behavior were. Like Jennifer, Tim, and Teresa, much of what you do is habitual, counterproductive patterns that you do over and over, time and time again. With most types of habitual behavior, including overeating, you started it for one reason, but continued it for another. So what about you? Did you start binging or overeating for one reason, such as a betrayal, a job loss, an illness, some personal tragedy, and you've kept on doing it as a matter of habit? Your pounds came on quickly, but the trouble is they stayed, because now you're overeating habitually, whether you're hungry or not. Are there eating situations in your life where you seem to go on automatic pilot, not really thinking about food as you reactively eat it? When eating behavior becomes automatic, you stop paying attention to or evaluating the cause and effect relationships in the behavior. But the truth is, if you stop this pattern of mindless, automatic eating, you can slash your caloric consumption significantly and begin to regain control of your weight almost effortlessly. As our first move in this direction, I want you to take a brief test, a behavioral audit, in order to gain insight into the ways you act and interact with food. This assessment will help you isolate which behaviors are generating the worst results and give you a self-awareness that will help you on your way to permanent weight loss and control. Get your pen and paper ready. I'll be giving you 15 statements followed by 4 possible answers. You need to write down the letter of the answer, A, B, C, or D, that best describes your individual behavior. Ready? Let's begin. Number 1. You eat large amounts of foods very fast in a short period of time. A. Rarely. B. Sometimes when you're rushed. C. Most of the time, especially during the day. D. Usually all the time. It is a habit. Write down A, B, C, or D. 2. You eat desserts or leftovers even if you feel full after a meal. A. Rarely. B. Sometimes, especially when you feel like you have to for social reasons. C. Most of the time, just because you like the taste. D. Usually all the time, it is a habit. 3. You sneak food. A. Rarely. B. Sometimes, especially when you're bored or stressed. C. Most of the time, sometimes out of spite. D. Usually all the time, it is a habit. 4. During a normal day, you feel the urge to eat. A. Only when it's mealtime. B. Occasionally, especially when your day is stressful. C. Most of the time, especially when someone talks about it. D. All the time, you are constantly thinking about food. 5. Usually, the duration of your meals is A. 30 to 45 minutes. B. 15 to 30 minutes. C. 5 to 15 minutes. D. You really do not take time for meals. You grab food when you can. 6. When a craving or urge to overeat a certain food comes over you, you usually A. dismiss the thought because it will pass. B. Purposely engage in a non-food-related activity or pastime. C. Use a substitute food. D. Give in to it. 7. You leave food on your plate, A. usually, B. occasionally, C. once in a while, D. never. 8. You typically eat large meals even if you're not hungry. A. Rarely. B. Usually at a friend or family member's insistence. C. When you are depressed or anxious. D. Frequently. 9. You watch TV or engage in other activities while eating. A. Rarely. B. Occasionally. C. More often than not. D. Most of the time. 10. How many rooms in your house do you eat in? A. 1. B. 2. C. 3. D. More than 3. 11. How many of your pleasurable activities center around food? A. 0 to 25%. B. 26 to 50%. C. 51 to 75%. D. 76 to 100%. 12. How often do you engage in behaviors such as binge eating or nighttime eating? A. Never. B. Some of the time. C. Often. D. Frequently. 13. With your meals, your portions are usually A. small, B. medium, C. large, D. large plus you habitually have second helpings. 14. When you feel tired, you A. lay down to rest or take a nap, B. do nothing and hope it will pass, C. have a snack, D. binge on high-calorie, sugary foods. And 15. When you have a meal, you thoroughly chew your food and savor each bite. A. Always. B. Occasionally. C. Seldom. D. Never. It always goes down too fast. Now for your score. For each A answer, give yourself 1 point. For each B, give yourself 0 points. For each C, give yourself minus 1 points. And for each D, give yourself minus 2 points. That's 1 for A, 0 for B, minus 1 for C, and minus 2 for D. Adding up each item for all 15 items, you should have a total in the range of plus 20 to minus 40. Tally your score now. A score in the 5 to 15 range means that generally you behave in ways that are healthy and that help you control your weight. You may have some behavioral habits that are change-worthy, however. You can identify these by reviewing answers which you chose a C or D. A score in the minus 5 to plus 4 range suggests that you are demonstrating a pattern of behavior that in a number of instances runs counter to good weight control. You'll learn some remarkable tools here to help you get better results. A score in the minus 15 to minus 4 range indicates that your behavioral habits are perpetuating a major weight problem. You need to pay close attention to your food and eating behaviors in order to make substantial changes that are needed. Accept this challenge and do not give up on yourself. A score in the range of minus 30 to minus 16 suggests that you will have to start making significant turnabouts in how you interact with food if you want to experience a weight loss and control that comes from healthy food and eating behaviors. Okay. Now that you've taken this audit, we're ready to work on specific behaviors that may have been your downfall in the past. That means you'll be behaving your way towards your weight loss goals. Don't get this mixed up with a less genuine technique of fake it till you make it. You won't be faking successful behaviors in any way. You genuinely do want a healthy weight that you can maintain. If you begin to behave in ways that reflect and define your weight control priorities, then you'll start enjoying the consequences of that behavior. You'll begin to feel lighter, stronger, and more alive than ever. If you were honest in your answers to the behavioral audit, then you already know a great deal about the problematic behaviors impacting your weight. Depending on your responses to individual questions on the audits, these behaviors may include eating too fast or too much, eating leftovers or dessert, eating sweet, high-fat foods as a matter of habit, sneaking food, giving in to urges or cues to overeat, cleaning your plate most of the time, eating in locations other than your kitchen or dining room tables, centering activities around food, binging, nighttime eating. Think about this list very carefully and consider your own answers on the audit you took. By completing that inventory, you have probably identified some rather glaring behaviors. And because you can't change what you don't acknowledge, you've taken some huge steps towards lifelong weight control. What I want you to see now is that these behaviors can be traced directly to the pounds you're packing. They're the price you pay for the shape you're in. To bring this point into sharper focus, let me give you a couple of examples from what I call my hit list of weight-promoting behaviors, things you may do that can really stack up calorie-wise and pound-wise. I hope your jaw drops in amazement when I tell you that. Eating one glazed donut, that's 290 calories, every day at work during your coffee break adds up to an extra 1,450 calories a week, which comes to an extra 75,400 calories a year, which can lead to a potential weight gain of 21 pounds in a year. Drinking one regular soda a day, that's 144 calories, rather than having a calorie-free soda instead, adds up to an extra 1,008 calories a week, which comes to an extra 52,400 calories a year, which can lead to a potential weight gain of 15 pounds a year. Binging twice a week, 1,000 to 3,000 calories per binge, adds up to an extra 2,000 to 6,000 calories a week, which comes to an extra 104 to 312,000 calories a year, which can lead to a potential weight gain of 30 to 90 pounds a year. Nighttime eating, 5 episodes a week, 270 calories per episode, adds up to an extra 1,350 calories a week, which comes to an extra 70,200 calories a year, which can lead to a potential weight gain of 20 pounds a year. Up until now, you may have been doing these things, going about your day with little or no appreciation of their gravity or impact. But with enough time and repetition, these behaviors do create gravity, and those results are weight gain. You may logically wonder, if these behaviors are making me overweight, then why do I keep doing them? Why do I keep doing something I want to stop? Why? One reason is the power of the payoff. Regardless of how negative or toxic a particular behavior is, you wouldn't be doing it if you didn't get some payoff or reward from it. That's why one of my mantras is, people do what works. You will not maintain any behavior that is not providing you with some kind of payoff. No payoff, no repetition. So based on results, since people do only what works, you have to conclude that this behavior must be working for you in some way at some level. To eliminate this destructive illogical behavior, you must first understand why you do it to begin with. In other words, knowing why you do something will help you not do it. That being so, let's take a time out here and deal directly with the specifics of your behavior and the payoffs you derive from it, so that you will not be controlled by these things in the future. I want you to review that behavioral audit one more time. You may want to go back and listen to the questions again and remind yourself of your answers. Those answers turn the floodlights on certain behaviors you need to stop in order to get your weight permanently under control. So I want you to take out your pen and paper and list the most troublesome behaviors that emerged from this audit. Then add to the list, if you can, any additional negative behaviors that are making you overweight and contributing in a toxic way to your health. Next comes the challenge. For each entry, identify and write down the payoff that is keeping this negative behavior alive. Because some payoffs are not so apparent, you might have to dig down deep, analyzing your situation thoroughly and considering all the possible ways you could be getting paid off without being aware of it. To help you get started, here are examples of payoffs that perpetuate weight-gaining behavior. Some of these may be contributing to your own behavior. First is pleasure. You may overeat simply because of the sheer pleasurable sensation you get from ingesting food. It tastes good, pure and simple. You enjoy having a party in your mouth and the pleasure that comes from the event of eating food. Physiological calm. When you eat, your body chemistry is altered temporarily. To assist in the process of digestion, for example, your heart pumps blood to your internal organs, and this gives you a warm, relaxed feeling. What's more, food helps your brain manufacture natural chemicals that have a soothing effect on your nervous system. This is a true physiological high that comes from ingesting food, and that high is a payoff you derive from eating. Emotional relief. As we have seen, food can serve a variety of purposes, far beyond simple nourishment. Celebration, medication, companionship, entertainment, or avoidance of emotional resolution. Any sort of emotional high or low can become a trigger for food, and with it, a way of coping with shifting moods or covering up for stress or problems you don't want to face or resolve. Irrational rewards. Far too often, we rationalize irrational behavior, and eating behavior is no exception. For example, if you have a stressful day, you treat yourself to a double fudge sundae after work as a way to unwind because you deserve it. Acceptance. Maybe your payoff from overeating has to do with acceptance or belonging. The emotional satisfaction that you are part of a couple, family, organization, peer group, or social circle. And so you eat to be sociable and fit in. For example, if your friends and family get together frequently for huge meals, maybe you join in and start pigging out with the rest of them. The appeal of immediate versus delayed gratification. Our need for immediate gratification, a fast, feel-good reward right now, is a very powerful payoff. This explains why you decide to go out for beer and pizza with your friends after work rather than exercise at the gym. Eating pizza and guzzling beer with friends feels fun and relaxing after work, whereas sweating through a good workout may extend your life 10 or 20 years from now. Who cares about 20 or 30 years from now? It sure feels good to eat pizza and drink beer right now. The short-term gratification you get today out-leverages the long-term cost of your self-destructive behavior. It isn't even a close call. Safety. For whatever underlying reason, remaining overweight may make you feel safe from certain situations. Maybe you excuse yourself from reaching for a better job or a better relationship because, after all, you can't do anything until you get this weight off. Maybe remaining overweight keeps you safe from a threatening sexual attention. You may want to hide your sexuality, and so you zip yourself up in a 100-pound parka called obesity. That way, you don't have to think about or deal with the prospects of dating, getting married, or having a family. Your weight provides you with the safety of sexual irrelevancy. This may have become important because of some terrible time in your earlier life. These are examples to take into consideration as you go about identifying and writing down your payoffs. Here are some things to think about as you write. How is your weight working for you? What are your payoffs from being overweight? Is it a way of getting pleasure or emotional relief? Is food your best friend? Does your weight protect you by insulating you from other people? Do you reward yourself by overeating? Do you overeat as a way of pleasing other people or fitting into some group? As you do this exercise, don't get discouraged. Don't give up. If you do some probing, you will discover what you are getting out of what you are doing. Okay, pause the program now and start writing. I want you to write about why you think food plays the role in your life that it does. Once you find the payoffs that control your behavior and make your weight what it is, you'll tell yourself, I can see why I'm overweight. I have no reason to expect my weight to be anything other than what it is. I can see why I've gone up and down in weight so many times. I did not know why I could never lose weight before, but I do now. I've been programming myself for weight gain, not for weight loss, but no more. The payoffs that I listed for you a few minutes ago, and the payoffs you have listed for yourself, are not unhealthy in and of themselves. There is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting a warm feeling, desiring a sense of calm and peace, needing emotional relief, seeking love and acceptance, or finding safety. A payoff is a payoff whether it comes from food or from something else. What is unhealthy and what is destructive is how you're getting those payoffs. From food, from overeating, and from all sorts of unhealthy, inappropriate food-related behavior. I want you to have the payoffs. I just want you to stop getting them from food. Okay, now I'm sure you're asking yourself, if I don't have food as a way to cope, what will I do? Great question. What you must learn to do now is replace those negative coping mechanisms with more positive, constructive tools that will generate the same payoffs. From here forward, your payoffs will come from new behaviors that will make you feel good about yourself and your appearance. Keep stepping through this door with me, and you'll learn about new behaviors that will make those extra pounds come off so much faster. It's time to break free from your habitual dependency on food as a means of coping and take total charge of you. This will require weakening long-held habits, changing self-defeating patterns, and learning how to handle your urges and impulses. You must be willing to challenge virtually every behavior pattern in your life that involves food and be open to new ways of coping with challenges. In order to eliminate one habitual behavior, you must replace it with a new behavior that is incompatible with the one you want to eliminate. When you make a new habit incompatible with the old one, the bad one will gradually lose its grip over you since the two habits cannot coexist at the same time. For example, it is virtually impossible to eat leftover cheesecake if you are standing in the shower instead. Taking a shower is incompatible with eating cheesecake. By the time you finish your shower and have gotten dressed, you may find that the desire for cheesecake has disappeared. One reason this plan of attack works so powerfully is that substituting an incompatible behavior for a bad habit takes your mind off the habit you want to weaken. There is an excellent example of this concept in the treatment of pain. Medically, it has been shown time after time that the more we concentrate on pain, the more we feel it. Focusing on something else rather than the pain actually alleviates the pain. So let's take some action steps through the door to habit control. With these steps, you'll learn how to use incompatible activities to stop overeating, binging, and other forms of inappropriate eating. You'll learn to fight your impulses and urges and change your eating style so that you feel more satisfied with less food. Together, we're about to jumpstart your weight loss like never before. Step 1. Replace bad habits with incompatible actions. Using incompatible activities as substitutes for out-of-control eating is a powerful way to change your behavior. It's particularly effective if you eat habitually in response to external and internal cues. For example, the smell of food wafting from the kitchen, or the hunger pangs you feel when you sink into your easy chair to watch the tube after work. Being aware of these cues in advance, cues that make you vulnerable to overeating, helps you prepare for temptation and helps you set up some incompatible actions to counteract those cues. If you know, for example, that at certain times of the day, your temptation to overeat is the strongest, then you can schedule non-food-related activities, incompatible actions, to compete with those strong temptations. Or if you let yourself become so tired that you could sleep on a barbed wire fence and you're tempted to eat enough for an army, then make it compulsory that you will take a 20-minute nap rather than raid your refrigerator. Why will this work? It will work because sleeping is incompatible with eating. So are dozens of other activities. Have you ever tried binging on chocolate cake while taking a brisk walk around the block? Or dancing to your favorite music while shoveling in your third bowl of cereal? Doesn't work. It's incompatible. When thinking about these activities, there are two requirements that they must meet. Number one, the activities you select must be available. That is, you can perform them at a moment's notice. Number two, they must compete with the action of eating. These activities form a new cadre of coping tools that you can substitute for overeating. The more tools and activities you can plug into your day as coping strategies, the more likely you are to get the results you want. Okay, so which activities might work for you? To help you think through this and to get you started in the right direction, I've classified activities into three broad categories. Fun activities, those you do for pure enjoyment. Relaxation activities, those you employ to reduce tension. And obligatory activities, those things you must do as a matter of life maintenance to manage your household or take care of your family. With these categories in mind, here are some examples of incompatible behaviors you might want to put on your list. Fun incompatible activities. Pursue a favorite hobby or take up something new you'd like to learn. Work in your garden. Play a game with your kids or your friends. Visit your neighbors or talk to a friend. Write letters or send emails to friends or family. Write in your journal. Go to a good movie or rent a video. Read a good book or your favorite magazine. Spend time planning your next vacation. Simply watch a sunrise or sunset. Incompatible relaxation activities. Do relaxation exercises. Go for a walk, a jog, swim, or a bike ride. Go to the gym and work out. Exercise to a video. Dance to some upbeat music. Take a shower or a leisurely bath. Have a massage or a day of beauty at a salon. Sing along with your favorite music. Engage in prayer or meditation. Write a poem. Take a short nap. Take the day off and go on a day trip. Obligatory incompatible activities. Do housework. Pay your bills. Balance your checkbook. Complete a home improvement project. Rearrange the furniture. Wash your car. Clean out your closets or your drawers. Run errands. Do all the things your dentist wants you to do. Brush, floss, rinse with mouthwash. Volunteer for a project. Then follow through on your commitments. Take your dog for a walk. As all of this suggests, you are going to be doing some things that perhaps you haven't done before. That means the territory you're entering is not yet part of your life momentum, and as a consequence, you're going to resent it at first. You're going to feel uncomfortable with the anxiety that this discomfort brings on because you are doing something to which you are not accustomed. It is a truth of human nature that you will want to resist things that are new and that you don't understand. But let me get real with you here. You can overcome this human truth by consciously taking on the attitude of being a willing spirit. Be willing to experiment and try new things in order to weaken your old habits. Adopting this spirit and putting into action everything you've learned is critical to keeping your positive momentum alive. Yes, change can be painful, but it is change for the better. Climb out of your rut and look around. Give these things a try. you might be really surprised by the outcome. That said, what I now challenge you to do is compile your own list of similar activities, any of which you can substitute for inappropriate, out-of-control eating. Please write these activities down, then tape copies of this list at any vulnerable location in which you're likely to overeat. Your refrigerator, your car, your television, or your desk at work. Consistently, and I mean consistently, act on these activities when you're confronted by cues and want to give in. Begin an incompatible activity as soon as you feel like overeating. In a remarkably short time, you'll begin to conquer the negative behavior that leads to overeating. Step 2. Overcome your impulses and urges. If you're like most people trying to lose weight, you probably think that you must be disciplined and resolute 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is a willpower-driven mindset, and as I have already discussed, it is doomed to failure. Now, here's the real truth. You do not have to be strong 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let me repeat that. You do not have to be strong 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The truth is, most of the fattening damage you do to yourself is inflicted in very isolated points in time. What this means is that your eating isn't eternally out of control. It's out of control only at certain times. These are what I call impulse moments. These are brief periods of time lasting no more than 2 or 3 minutes in which you forget your resolve, you react without thinking, and you break your momentum by caving in to the urge to overeat or binge. Although they seem to come out of the blue, impulse moments are activated by cues in your environment, by your thoughts and feelings, by physical cravings for certain foods, and in response to certain events and circumstances. You can expect to experience 4 to 7 impulse moments during the day. An impulse moment can occur at certain times. For instance, at 5:30 p.m. when you get home from work, feeling like chewed twine after a long day. It can happen when you walk by a bakery and are enticed by the sight and smell of fresh pastries in the window. It can happen after a fight with your spouse and suddenly you're stuffing your face with handfuls of M&Ms. It can happen when, for no apparent reason, you start craving a certain food. It can happen anytime, any place, in response to any event. Just count on it, because it will happen. Impulse moments are critical for you to manage because they have the unfortunate potential to derail even the best of efforts. When they hit, if you are not managing those impulses with a great degree of awareness and conscious resolve, then you are going to go spiraling right back into your habitual self-destructive eating behavior every single time. It's like getting to the finish line only to have a tripwire stretched out in front of you, and boom, you're kissing the pavement. This is why you need a real strategy worked out in advance with which to manage these impulse moments. The best defense for heading off impulses, urges, and cravings is twofold. First, you must audit your day in order to figure when impulse moments are most likely to hit. That way, you're in a better position to avoid them by changing your routine, changing your schedule, or by changing your environment. Think about the following. What traps you personally into overeating? Is it a certain time of day? Is it the people you hang out with? Is it paired with some type of activity like watching TV? Do you get the urge to eat in certain places like your car or your office? Do you turn to food when you're really tired after work? So think about your impending day, where food is likely to be and what situations might trigger this impulse to eat. If you see it coming, it's much easier to handle. The second part of your defense involves your response to impulse moments. What I want you to do is plan very carefully what you're going to do at those moments when you have the urge to binge or overeat. The very same activities you just listed are activities you can purposely choose to enact when these impulse moments strike, and strike they will. As soon as you feel the impulse, begin engaging deliberately in an incompatible substitute. Trust me, as soon as you do this, you will stop thinking about food and your desire to overeat will weaken and eventually disappear. Yes, this does require a little energy, but the good news is that impulse moments pass as quickly as they hit. In an instant, poof, they're gone. Manage your impulse moments with a clear-cut plan, with a purpose, and you will bring much-needed order into your life. Where before you might have surrendered to your impulses, now you will win and achieve what you want. Step 3. Change your eating style. If you're overweight, then I know that you eat in a style that leads to overeating. Eating too fast, eating while watching TV, eating far beyond the point of fullness, and so forth. When you eat like this, you shovel in an enormous amount of calories in a very short period of time without even realizing it. And these calories are turned into body fat. If you eat too fast, for example, you won't feel full until it's too late. This is because after you begin a meal, it takes about 20 minutes for your body to send a message to your brain to switch off your appetite. But with rapid-fire eating, your brain does not get these stop-eating signals until you've already stuffed yourself with too many calories. Whenever you eat too rapidly, you will also get hungry again much more quickly than if you had eaten at a slower pace. The encouraging news is that you can change these fattening habits with incompatible behaviors. For example, you can't wolf down a meal in split seconds if you're taking eating breaks during your meal. Taking eating breaks is incompatible with fast eating. There are numerous incompatible behaviors you can employ to change your eating style. Mastering even one or two of these changes will liberate you from counterproductive eating behavior and dramatically reduce your weight. Here are some suggestions. If you eat too fast, after your food is placed in front of you, wait 5 minutes before you eat it. Completely swallow food from each mouthful before you add any more to your fork or spoon. Put your utensils down between bites. Consciously take time to taste, chew, and savor the food you eat. Stretch out your meals, making them last 30 minutes instead of 5 or 10 minutes to allow for a physiological reduction in hunger. Take sips of water or other non-caloric beverages between bites. If you typically eat oversized portions, use a smaller plate for your meals. Purchase single-serving foods. At restaurants, order one meal and ask for two plates so that you can split the meal with your dinner companion. If you tend to eat leftovers, leave the table after you've finished eating. Have someone else clean leftovers off plates after meals. Leave some food on your plate. Purchase food in smaller packages or quantities so that you rarely have leftovers. If you eat while standing or on the move, localize your eating. Select one area of your house and eat all of your food at a designated table in that area. That includes regular meals, snacks, and beverages. Never eat while driving in your car, standing in front of your open refrigerator, reading a book, magazine, or newspaper, sitting on your bed, or talking on the phone. In other words, do not pair other behaviors with eating. If you sample food while cooking, place a small portion of food on a plate, sit down, and taste it. Chew sugar-free gum while you're cooking. Minimize your time in the kitchen. If you eat at night, brush your teeth in the evening to signal that you've finished eating for the night. If you overeat at parties or social events, eat low-calorie foods before you go. Concentrate on people and conversation, not on food. Position yourself away from the food. Get away from the buffet table. By employing these incompatible behaviors, you take the entire process of overeating off automatic pilot. If you're not already doing some of these things, start now. If you don't, you'll just become another casualty of unsuccessful behavior. So behave differently when it comes to food, resolving to push food out of the center of your life. Believe me, when you do these things, your weight will start peeling off and your life will become so much more ordered and productive. You'll begin to enjoy a whole new way of eating and living, one that is so much more satisfying that you will not want to ever turn back. At this point, we need to revisit the issue of payoffs. Most of the activities you and I have listed will generate the very same payoffs that you used to get from food and from overeating. Take exercise, for example. Exercise, whether it involves going for a jog or working in your garden, produces surges in feel-good brain chemicals, just as overeating does, but without the disastrous side effects. Relaxation, meditation, listening to music, all of these generate the payoffs of physiological calm or emotional relief. Even volunteering, helping others by giving your time and talents, has been shown in research to produce a sense of calmness, well-being, and other incredibly positive physiological changes in mental and physical health. Obligatory activities like doing housework or cleaning out your closets can give you a sense of accomplishment while taking your mind off food and weakening your desire to overeat. Using incompatible behaviors, you can eat less food, enjoy it more, and still feel satisfied while effortlessly losing weight in the process. When you continue to choose healthier behaviors, disconnecting from the toxic short-term payoffs, you'll discover that there is another payoff system at work, the positive payoffs that come from the newfound mastery in your life. To illustrate what I mean, let me tell you what I wish for you to be thinking, saying, and feeling once you become the captain of your own behavior again and start achieving your goals. It feels good to be in control. When I get up in the morning, I'm excited about the day. I like what I see in the mirror, and I'm proud of who I am. I've found the discipline to eat according to my needs rather than be driven by self-destructive habits, impulses, or diets. I have a rock-solid foundation for my new eating habits that cannot be destroyed. I live more fully now that my body is functioning better, and I'm free to forget about food and get on with living. I have the confidence to get involved in new pursuits, take a course, or change my profession. When I walk into a room, people are cheering for me because they have known and have shared my struggle. As my body gets thinner, healthier, and more athletic, I experience it with greater awareness and pleasure. I've gained new satisfaction and self-respect in whatever I choose to do. I know life won't be a bed of roses in the future any more than it is today, but I know how to deal with difficulties. I'm no longer going in circles, but moving forward with tremendous clarity about why I am in this world and what I'm supposed to do while I'm here. There's an adventure in my day and joy in my heart. I've learned to live a life of meaning and significance. I just offer these words to get you percolating and thinking about the payoffs you'll experience from healthy behavior and about the way you want your life to be. When you use every key and go through every door in this program, you will feel like nothing can stop you on your journey to actually living these words. Key 5. High response cost, high yield nutrition. Unlock the door to food control. Be aware that certain foods lead to considerable amounts of mindless, uncontrollable overeating. If you eliminate or cut back on these foods, you will control your weight automatically and live in peace with food. If you're eating without any degree of control, stuffing your face with everything that moves, then you need more than anything else what I call a behavioral approach to food and nutrition. This is a way to eat that tames your hunger, stops destructive patterns of eating, and enables you to regain control over food and how much you eat. It is designed to build on what you already know about food and good nutrition so that you do not have to start from scratch. I call it my high response cost, high yield food plan, which means that it's focusing on choosing foods that produce and reinforce lasting weight loss and control. This approach runs absolutely counter to what most diets push, which is a metabolic approach to weight loss, usually employing puritanical restrictions on certain food groups or special combinations of food that promise miraculous fat burning. These approaches may work for a short time, but as soon as you return to your old ways of eating, your weight returns with interest. This key, high response cost, high yield nutrition, unlocks the door to food control so that you are no longer a prisoner of binges, cravings, or fixations on food. You will discover some truths about food that I'm sure no one has ever told you before, and you will be relying on important food realities for achieving and maintaining a healthy weight. Let's begin by taking a nutritional assessment to examine more closely your food choices and whether they are working for you or against you. Most people misjudge how poorly they really eat or how often they consume various foods, and as a result, have no idea how their food choices are driving weight-gaining behavior. By completing this assessment, you'll take a big step toward understanding where you are nutritionally and where you could be. You'll confront the ways in which you're harming your health and stonewalling your weight control efforts. To take this very important assessment, look on the text file CD for the file labeled Nutritional Assessment. Just follow the directions there, and when you've finished and tallied up your scores, come back and rejoin me here. Now, let's interpret your scores for each separate section so that you will have a clear idea of how you're doing in specific areas of your nutrition. For Section 1, Meals and Snacks, if you scored above 16 points, you have developed some excellent meal and snack habits. Eating 3 meals a day with healthy snacks in between is important to weight control since it keeps your metabolism humming along all throughout the day. Equally important to weight control is breakfast. Studies have shown that breakfast eaters have fewer cravings and hunger pangs later in the day and are better able to control their appetites at other meals. This section also underlines the importance of eating a variety of foods, including healthy snacks, so that your body is fueled with the broadest range of nutrients possible. A score under 16 indicates the need for improvement in these areas. Section 2, Nutrient Balance. If you scored more than 14 points, your present diet is abundant in vitamins and minerals. Grains, for example, supply B vitamins. Dairy products provide calcium, which is not only important for bone building, but also for regulating body weight. Green vegetables are vital sources of folic acid, a vitamin now known to protect against a range of diseases, including heart disease and cancer. You get vitamin A and other protective nutrients from orange and yellow vegetables and vitamin C from citrus fruits. If your score shows you're skimping in any of these areas, it's time for a nutritional overhaul. Section 3, Fiber. If your score is 12 or higher, you're well on the road to high fiber eating. That's good because fiber provides a number of weight and appetite controlling advantages, not to mention excellent digestive health. If you flunk the fiber part of this assessment, you need to begin eating more whole grains, beans, and legumes. And start reading labels to ascertain the fiber content of foods. You need between 20 and 30 grams of fiber daily. Section 4, Sugar and Processed Carbohydrates. If you scored 10 or higher, preferably closer to 15, congratulations. You've successfully shunned a class of foods, sugar and processed foods, that in chronic excess burdens your metabolism. Eating too much sugar makes you hungry for more sugar, and so a vicious cycle ensues. The overabundance of sugar, sugary processed foods, along with saturated fats from animal sources, shoulders much of the blame for insulin resistance, a condition that occurs when the body builds up a tolerance to the hormone insulin. Insulin's job is to keep your blood sugar within normal ranges, neither too high nor too low, by shuttling that blood sugar into your muscle cells for energy. With insulin resistance, your body is less efficient at controlling blood sugar, and so it piles up in your bloodstream, creating a toxic metabolic environment. Many experts believe that insulin resistance encourages obesity and leads to diabetes and heart disease. Section 5, Fat Intake. If your score is above 13, you do a good job of curbing the fat in your diet. A low score, or one that's in negative territory, should be a loud wake-up call. Reevaluate what you're doing. Eating the wrong types of fats, namely the saturated variety, can harm your health and make you so much more susceptible to life-shortening illnesses.